It's OPB Politics Now for Friday, March 15th. Portland City Commissioner Rene Gonzalez is just entering his second year in elected office, but he's already set his eyes on a higher one in the new government. But many people are still trying to figure out just who Gonzalez is and what he stands for in the first place. We'll get into it. And stop me if you've heard this before, but Portland and Multnomah County have a new plan they say will help move people off the streets and into housing. We'll talk about what's the same, what's different about this latest announcement. Welcome to the podcast. I'm OPB Politics Editor Andrew Thien.
And I'm OPB Portland City Government Reporter Alex Zielinski.
All right, Alex, let's start with Rene Gonzalez. You recently spent time digging into his path to politics, talking to lots of people who know him or don't know him well. What did you learn? Who is Rene Gonzalez, and how did he end up in politics?
So Rene Gonzalez is a business attorney by training who owned his own legal firm in Portland. And in 2020, he was the president of the state's largest youth soccer club, which is a volunteer gig. From that vantage point, he watched as the COVID-19 pandemic shut down youth sports and schools and grew really concerned about the impact that had on kids. It inspired him to organize a group focused on lobbying the governor's office to reopen schools, even before a vaccine was invented, which, as you can imagine, was controversial and really thrust him into tense political conversations with the teachers' union, elected officials, and parents. But it also gained him a lot of supporters who encouraged him to get more involved in politics, which is essentially how he landed in Portland City Council race in 2022. A little bit more about his personality. Gonzalez is Latino, a parent of three, a business owner. He's also a longtime soccer player. When I asked him what identity defined him as a leader, he said it was his experience as an athlete that translated to most of his work. Here's how he put it.
Being able to articulate vision and keeping people positive when they're down and holding them accountable when, you know, their head gets a little bit big. I do think that's a big part of my identity.
So that's where he sees himself fitting in City Hall.
Okay. And as you were talking there, it just dawned on me, Alex, that this week was really like the 4-year mark of the shutdown. So it was like 4 years ago that he really kind of emerged a little bit on the scene here in Portland. But I teased this in the intro a little bit. When you asked Gonzalez to describe his politics, what he stands for, what did he say?
So yeah, it's a little tricky. He describes himself as a Biden Democrat and aligns with traditional progressive values like wanting to address climate change and protect reproductive rights and gun control policy. At the same time, he calls himself, quote, politically homeless. That might be because he supports tougher sanctions for low-level drug crimes and criminalizing homeless camping. And that's also why a lot of Portlanders feel like he's kind of a closet conservative. He sees his beliefs aligning with a growing group of people, and I'll let him speak for himself here.
Well, I think right now, I'd say I'm part of a substantial population in Western cities that wants real basics. I mean, safety, a clean city, ability to utilize parks and our commons, and all of that feels like it's threatened right now.
And he told me that it's frustrating that he gets called out for questioning what he calls progressive talking points. Here he is again.
It's like you're a heretic. Like you can't, it's impermissible. And it doesn't matter that someone from another party may have made the same point. It's still a legitimate question to ask. And so I think that's what I represent.
So I think it's fair to say that he exists in a bit of a political gray area.
And just to kind of talk about the scene where he talked to Commissioner Gonzalez there, he was at the Rose City Futsal, which is like kind of like a soccer on a hardwood basketball court.
Indoor soccer court, yeah. Hence the background sound there.
All right, so we've established that he's still pretty new to politics. How do his colleagues feel like he's doing when you talk to them? And what about people outside of City Hall?
Yeah, so his colleagues see him as a pretty much a green politician in many ways. You know, I spoke with a number of City Hall staff who work pretty closely with Gonzalez in his office, and they describe someone who rushes to get proposals before council without proper vetting, and who is just not really great at building alliances among commissioners, which is important to see any wins in City Hall, at least under this current form of government. Others say they see him learning and growing over the past year or so in office, and they're hopeful that he's getting the hang of it. Folks outside City Hall have more mixed feelings. A lot of people agree that Gonzalez is great at collaborating across government and agencies. He has built pretty strong relationships with other local elected officials. Gonzalez also oversees the Fire Bureau, and the Firefighters Union has only great things to say about him and his leadership. He also has the support of local business leaders who say his office is accessible and always open for conversation. But not everyone agrees. I also talked with advocates in the homeless community who say that it's been really hard to meet with Gonzalez, who oversees programs that directly impact homelessness, like Portland Street Response, the first response group for folks living outside and in mental health crises. I also heard from Portland Street Response staff who feel that Gonzalez has undermined their work with certain policy decisions, like a ban on distributing tents to people living outside last year.
Okay. So people who are listening to us talk about Commissioner Gonzalez probably have more of a sense of him in general than, just the everyday Portlander. But it seems like he has this really like a knack for being at the center of the story or the center of controversies too, both inside government and outside City Hall in his first year. Is that a fair characterization?
I think so, yeah. He's certainly a magnet for headline-grabbing stories. A few examples. First, like I just mentioned, his decision to ban the distribution of tents and tarps to people experiencing homelessness was deeply controversial right off the gate, though that was a little over a month into him being in office, especially since this decision took place during a cold snap. Then he made an attempt to take a voter-approved change in Portland's form of government back to voters after having kind of personal qualms with it. He quickly dropped that after public outcry. It again, thrust him into the spotlight. These decisions and more have attracted criticism towards Gonzalez from members of the public, and a few incidents have underscored that dynamic for him. In January of this year, Gonzalez's parents' car caught fire while parked outside his house, and police say the fire was intentionally set. They've yet to charge anyone for this, alleged arson, but that whole incident understandably really rattled Gonzalez and his family. A few weeks later, Gonzalez posted a video explaining that he had been accosted by someone riding the Max. He said that the person had criticized his support for homeless sweeps. Security camera footage of that incident, however, told a pretty different story. It showed a woman just walking past Gonzalez as he sat in an aisle seat before sitting in front of him. It's really even hard to tell if she touched him at all as she walked past. For a lot of folks, this felt kind of like a serious mischaracterization, including people who were really sympathetic to his concerns following the car fire. What's interesting that after the security footage came out, he kind of doubled down on the theme. He handed out this list to the media. It was a timeline of events that had felt similarly threatening to him and his staff over the past year. That included a claim that one of Gonzalez's staffers was physically assaulted outside his council office and, some online threats with very little details, but it kind of centered on this idea that he has been targeted again and again for his stance on and political ideas in City Hall.
So, Alex, you know this, that obviously politics aren't always pretty in Portland or elsewhere, and it's not uncommon for elected officials to be confronted about policies or even worse in public, right?
Yeah, totally, especially over the past 5 years. People have held protests outside city commissioners' homes, the mayor's house, and have been accused of stalking elected officials. It can get pretty scary, too. Gonzalez's predecessor, Joanne Hardesty, received so many death threats that the city replaced her council office windows with bulletproof glass.
All right. So given all of this context we've talked about with Commissioner Gonzalez so far, and, even you mentioned that he tried to unwind briefly the new form of government, yet he is wanting to be mayor. Why does he want to be mayor?
Yeah, great question. He says none of these recent threats or perceived threats have diminished his interest in running. Here is how he responded to that question.
I just think both our challenge and opportunity as a city are so profound right now. We are making history as to what Western cities are going to be like post-pandemic. And that can go well or it could not go well.
And, he'll have the next 9 months to prove that he's the guy to make sure it goes well. And remember, he'll be auditioning for that job alongside two other colleagues on council, Commissioner Carmen Rubio and Mingus Maps. With the majority of council members running for mayor, it's going to make for an interesting year.
That it will. Well, let's pivot to a topic that is also one of the most important ones that we discuss on this podcast and also one of the most important ones in the state. That's housing and homelessness. Earlier this week, Portland and Multnomah County announced, you guessed it, another new plan to address this crisis. So what is different about this latest plan?
Yeah, so this is just the latest in a long line of plans to end homelessness that we've seen in Portland. It's quite similar to one proposed about 5 years ago, which created the Joint Office of Homeless Services, a county department that is co-funded by the city of Portland. That office oversees most programs that address homelessness in the county, and that 2015 plan had the goal to cut the population of unsheltered homeless people in half within 3 years. And that didn't happen. Instead, the population nearly tripled in 5 years, which gets us to today. This new plan has a pretty similar goal to cut the population of folks living outside in half within 2 years. So the estimated population of people living outside right now is a little over 5,000, and this new plan pledges to cut that to around 2,700 by 2026. To get there, the county and city proposed creating three new oversight committees to streamline the various different homeless-related programs in the region. You know, it's not hard to be a little cynical about this based on these past examples, but leaders say this time is different. At a press conference this week, Multnomah County Chair Jessica Vega Peterson said, it's because there are a lot more organizations at the table. That includes healthcare providers, housing developers, first responders, criminal justice system, just everyone who kind of interfaces with people experiencing homelessness, which I would argue they should already have been doing. But at this point, it won't just be the joint office steering the ship.
All right. Is this an acknowledgement, though, that the past plan did not work?
You know, for some people, maybe. I think the focus really here is on the joint office. You know, there has been growing skepticism about how that office has operated from folks both within the city and county for some time, mostly due to the office's problem of getting money out the door to homeless service providers. The joint office is largely funded by a regional tax called the Supporting Housing Services tax that has brought in a lot more money than anticipated. Folks who've listened to this podcast regularly will be familiar with this story, but the joint office has been really slow to spend that money, a problem that they blame on contracting problems, staffing shortages, other issues, and that's led to a lot of distress from local leaders and residents. So I think it's an intentional move now to not just rely solely on the joint office for this new plan and to instead bring in these other facets of the system and kind of resell this idea that, like, oh, don't worry, we have everyone organized now working together for some reason that wasn't happening before. But here we are.
So we've also talked about this quite a bit with the recent cold snap and whatnot, that, you know, county and city leaders are not always on the same page. And same with just the joint office in general. Was that the case this week? Is everyone agreeing and on the same page?
Yeah, there were surprisingly more people who were in agreement than I thought there would be this week. I think people familiar with county politics wouldn't be incredibly surprised by, you know, who might be raising concerns. The plan was met very coldly by County Commissioner Sharon Myron. Myron is an emergency room physician who does volunteer work providing medical help to folks living outside. And she's been consistently pretty critical of the county's homelessness response for the reasons I mentioned earlier, that they've set these goals that just haven't been able to be met. So she gave a pretty blistering response to this new plan, calling it political theater and just kind of a distraction in the midst of a pretty serious crisis. But she's really the only politician who raised these concerns. Despite that, she has the support of a lot of members of the public who are equally fed up. So there's not unanimous support right now.
Okay, and just before we close here, there's so much money at play to address this crisis. The state has passed nearly $400 million just last week for housing and homelessness in the session that just wrapped up. That comes on the heels of $200 million approved last year. And as you mentioned, the supportive housing services tax is generating way more money than anyone predicted. Money doesn't solve everything, though, does it, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, I'll keep this short, but in the case of homelessness in Multnomah County, I don't think so.
All right. Well, we were going to leave it there for today, but thank you so much for your reporting and thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
This week's episode was produced by Anna Griffin and our audio engineer is Nalene Silva. Our music comes from Audio Network. We'll be back next week with more political news from across the Pacific Northwest. Until then, you can find all of OPB's reporting at opb.org. Thanks for your support and thanks for listening.